This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, 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 tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet. Rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin, rockin' Robin, go. Rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Rockin' Robin. You remember that song? I remember some one guy in particular. He would get up and start dancing every time that song came on. It's very catchy. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, believe it or not. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, February the 12th. I guess it's 2 days from Valentine's Day, if I'm right about that. I'll have to check. In a few minutes, Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation will join us, and we're going to talk about statehood for Washington, D.C. There is talk that Democrats will be pushing this, along with statehood for Puerto Rico, by the way. Is it a good thing? Is that what we need? You know, it's been, what, 1959, the last time we added states, Alaska and Hawaii. Still trying to figure out why we added them. So it's been a long time. And now it is the Trump team's turn. Try to say that about eight times. The Trump team's turn. Lawyers for the former president are going to be taking the stage at the Capitol to argue why he should be exonerated in any insurrection charge. We are going to talk about it, among other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, His Eminence Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that, please. And so the Emmy Award-winning governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, I wonder where he keeps that Emmy of his. He should return it. Anyway, he may be forced out the door. We're going to discuss this nursing home cover-up and whether he can talk his way out of this one, okay? He's a big talker. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 longest current world leaders. How long and who? Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, you guys in Tampa Bay, I am not kidding. You want to get the best haircut at the best price? Combined, Andrew's Master Barbershop, Dunedin, Overcash Plaza. Call for your appointment first. 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. All right. Well, we got some interesting things going on with the governor of New York. All of a sudden, he's caught. I mean, can you talk about being caught red-handed? A top aide to Governor Andrew Cuomo told leading state Democratic lawmakers that the administration withheld data on the virus deaths at the nursing homes to avoid being scrutinized by the feds. Now, I don't think Cuomo's denying it. That's called a cover-up. The revelation prompted condemnation and even talk of impeachment in Albany, which is the state capital of New York. A Republican state senator wants the Department of Justice to open obstruction of justice charges against Cuomo. We'll see how far that goes. By the way, that's another thing that's being downplayed by most of the mainstream media. I was watching C-SPAN this morning. Not one word. And here he is, you know, with all the play they gave him with his fireside talks. Remember that? He was getting more airtime than any governor has ever gotten in this country.
Meanwhile, they're running our governor through the ringer, saying that he altered numbers or whatever.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we'll find out about that. I don't know anything about that. I do know about Cuomo, and I do know that they're trying to suppress the information on it. The New York Post, by the way, you got to give them some credit, right? They're the ones that broke the Hunter Biden story. They broke this one. The New York Post first reported that the secretary to the governor, her name is Melissa DeRosa, told Democrats in New York that the administration feared the data could be used against us, could, quote, be used against us, unquote, by the Justice Department. The data could be used against us. What, if you bring facts up, they can be used against you. Okay. So, the Department of Justice began investigating nursing home deaths from the virus back in August. Now, it's not just New York, three other states as well. And so she goes on, we were in a position where we weren't sure if what we were going to give to the Department of Justice or what we give to you guys, what we start saying was going to be used against us while we weren't sure if there was going to be an investigation. I guess she might as well pick up her, what do you call it, her final check from the New York governor's office now? Or does she get the check with the pink slip for saying this out loud, right? A senior Cuomo advisor placed some of the blame on Trump. He says, we explained that the Trump administration was in the midst of a politically motivated effort to blame Democrats for COVID deaths, and that we were cooperating with federal document productions, and that was the priority. And now that it's over, we can address the state legislature. What? What the hell does that mean? You were covering up. You were giving us false numbers. Sir, first of all, Cuomo sends all of these COVID-infected people into the nursing homes, mm-hmm. right? Then he covers up the number of people that died from it, and he's been quoted as saying, who cares? But of course, in context with they died and who cares where they died. And people do take that one out of context a little bit. He does care about the deaths, but I'm beginning to think he cares more about the deaths affecting his situation.
And don't forget, Cuomo demanded the hospital ship because his hospitals were overflowing and sent the wrong patients there. He sent the infected ones with COVID to the hospital ship, and that wound up leaving because they didn't need it anyway.
And here he was going on and on talking about how, at one point, he praised Donald Trump. Donald Trump responded rather quickly to his request, right? And then all of a sudden, at some point, that got lost in the wash. You knew that wouldn't last very long. A Democratic New York governor.
He sits there, talks into the camera like he's talking to a bunch of five-year-olds. Very slow. With plenty of grass.
And you know his brother. You know his brother's on CNN. I don't know if he still is.
He is.
That's too bad.
Yeah, Chris Cuomo. He's an ABC News reject.
Yeah. Remember when he did... didn't he do, he was doing something from his home, and he likes to work out at his home. Then he walked by the camera naked.
Actually, a jogger went by his house, too close to his house, and he went off on him. That went viral.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
It's easy to poke fun at people, I guess. We're just having a little bit of a time with it. But you know what? The COVID thing and the undercount and everything. Let's just see how much the press... springs on that one. I would think the local press in New York would spring on it. But the national press, not so much, you know.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hey, do you think Washington, D.C. should become our 51st state? We're going to talk with Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation all about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for joining us on Freedom Work. Delighted to have back Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And he had a piece in the, I think it was the Philadelphia Inquirer a few days ago. They were discussing the pros and cons of Washington, D.C. becoming our next state. Zach, welcome back. I'll tell you what, the Democrats have been pushing this, along with the possibility, I think, of Puerto Rico joining as well. Now, you're not so hot on it. Tell us a little bit about why you don't feel it might be a good idea.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me back on the show.
Of course, always.
I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
But, you know, Washington, D.C. is unique. It's a little bit different even from somewhere like Puerto Rico. You know, the Constitution specifies that we should have a federal enclave to be our nation's capital, and it shouldn't be any larger than 10 miles square. And so the result was the Founding Fathers picked out the site that's, you know, we currently know as Washington, D.C., and moved the federal capital to Washington. Well, what the Democrats in both the House and the Senate are proposing to do right now is to pass a bill. And just by passing a bill, you know, that would pass the House, pass the Senate, and be signed, presumably by President Biden, they would turn basically most of what we now know as Washington, D.C., into a new state, the Douglas Commonwealth. And with that, you know,
the Douglas Commonwealth,
state,
did you say?
The Douglas Commonwealth, named after Frederick Douglass.
Oh,
and
okay.
So, you know, the big push behind this, practically speaking, is that this new state would get two new senators. And I think most people are presuming that they would be Democratic senators. And so, you know, look, my position is there's a lot of talk going on right now about, you know, voting rights for D.C. citizens, you know, kind of making arguments for why D.C. should be a state. A lot of people on the left are making that argument. But really, this is nothing more than a naked power grab. And unfortunately, you know, I think this is an constitutionally questionable power grab at best. Now, and so really, you know, go ahead.
No, sure. I'm sorry. I did not want. Go ahead and finish your thought. I have a question.
No, okay. No. I was just going to say, you know, unfortunately, this really is a power grab. You know, if it's constitutionally questionable, and despite, you know, the attempt to kind of cast it in high-flying ideal terms, it's really just about power, you know, to add two more Democratic senators to aid in passing the Democratic agenda.
Right. So the process itself is not that easy to get through, right? You have to, and I don't know how, you know, with Alaska and Hawaii, how that worked when they back in 59, but you have to go through some voting, not only in Congress, but don't you have to have a ratification process? How does that work?
So typically, when new states are being added from territory that the United States already has, Congress set out a procedure, and it typically can be done through simple legislation. You know, as long as they meet certain criteria that Congress has set out, you know, the House, the Senate will pass a bill, the president will sign it, and we have a new state.
Really?
Now, the problem with that, that's right. You know, it just hasn't been done.
No input from the states?
No, it's typically just Congress that sets out the parameters for what would be required. Now, Congress can't carve out a new state from an existing state's territory. So it would have to be, you know, new land that's been acquired, like Alaska or like Hawaii. But I think it's important to keep in mind, D.C. is a different beast. D.C. is a federal enclave, is specifically contemplated in the Constitution. The Constitution says the national capital, you know, shall be in this federal enclave. And I think there are important practical reasons for why that's the case and for why the District of Columbia is unique and is not eligible to go through this same process that was used to admit other states like Alaska or like Hawaii.
Yeah, in fact, wasn't the idea behind carving it out that you didn't want to have the politics of a particular state involved? It was kind of like a no man's land or an oasis, whatever you want to call it, where supposedly you could be more objective. I mean, wasn't that kind of it? You didn't want to favor, if you put it inside one particular state, you had the capital of our country in one particular state, there would be an obvious concern about favoritism, right?
No, that's absolutely right. And more practically speaking, you know, there's also practical reasons why you wouldn't want that, just in terms of safety and security. One of the things that really drove the founding fathers to want this separate capital is when the capital was in Philadelphia, a group of disgruntled soldiers basically surrounded the capital and threatened the members of Congress unless they were given their back pay. Well, the members of Congress asked the Pennsylvania governor to send out the militia troops to help, you know, protect the members of Congress, and he wouldn't do it. And because they were located in the state of Pennsylvania, the federal officials, the federal members of Congress, really weren't able to take many actions, and so they actually had to end up kind of sneaking out of town in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And many of the many of the founding fathers said, look, we don't want that situation to ever happen again, where we're depending on someone other than the federal government for the safety and security of federal officials.
Yes.
And so there are a lot of practical reasons. But again, you know, if senators and congressmen think that D.C. should be a state, look, I disagree, but they can support it. But the way to go about that is not by simply passing a bill. It's to follow the Constitution's Article 5 amendment process and pass a constitutional amendment. And I think they would be on much sounder constitutional footing if they did that.
This is what I'm thinking. I don't see how you can have a simple vote in Congress. Right now, could they just, on a simple majority in Congress, make it a state? Go ahead.
Well, the problem is, you know, you're highlighting a great problem. Really to do this, the Senate would have to destroy the legislative filibuster. You know, the filibuster is the idea that a single senator can kind of hold the floor, slow down debate, force debate on legislation that's coming through the chamber. And unfortunately, you know, it doesn't look like there are enough votes to get past the filibuster.
But is it a simple majority? Is it a simple majority or is it a two-thirds or a three-quarter? What's the vote? What's the process constitutionally? Do you know?
So the filibuster isn't,
Not the filibuster. The vote on statehood.
Right. So if they followed the Article 5 amendment process, you would basically have to get two-thirds of the members of both houses of Congress to agree to propose an amendment, and then you'd have to get three-fourths of the states to ratify.
Yeah, so they're not going to get that.
Right.
They're not going to get that.
Well,
they're not going to get three-quarters of the states to ratify it.
Well, look, before they can even get to the three-quarters, you know, it's unclear they can get two-thirds
exactly.
of the members of both houses of Congress.
Yeah, so it's a difficult process. Okay.
Well, and that's where they run into problems, even going this legislative route. because if somebody filibusters this, which they will, it doesn't look like the Senate has the votes right now to invoke something called cloture, to end the filibuster. Mm-hmm. And so the Democratic majority in the Senate would essentially have to vote to change the rules of the Senate to eliminate the legislative filibuster. And if they do that, you know, it would fundamentally change how the Senate functions as a body, and I think would really fly in the face of, the founding fathers' design of having the Senate be a more deliberative body.
We're talking with Zach Smith. We're talking a little bit of the intrigue of adding Washington, D.C. as a state. Zach, Guam, I don't even know exactly. It's out there in the Pacific somewhere. I haven't been there. It's a territory, just like Hawaii was a territory back in the 50s. I guess because we had a military base, an important one, in Hawaii, Pearl Harbor, that helped induce us to make it a state, I assume. We have some military hardware in Guam as well. I don't know that it would ever become a state. I'm not even sure what their politics are. But there's a bunch of territories still out there that we have control over. And yet we're looking at Washington, D.C. There is really no, I mean, if you just look at it, there's nothing other than political involved in that, right?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, I think that is driving a large part of this because, again, the hope is that it'll become a state, two new senators will get added to the Senate, and that both of those senators will be members of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, this does look really just like a naked power.
And they're doing that with Puerto Rico. Same idea, right? Puerto Rico is highly Democratic. They would end up with two more Democrats. They could have four more Democratic. We would have 104 seats in the Senate, and all four of the new ones would be Democrats, it would seem to me.
Well, and look, legally, constitutionally, Puerto Rico is a little bit of a different situation than Washington, D.C., just because, you know, Washington, D.C., again, is specifically contemplated in the Constitution. But I think the point is well taken. You know, if they're doing this to game the system, that's very troubling because, you know, Justice Scalia, he used to say, you know, the rule of law is really the law of rules, you know. And so if you have one side that's trying to change the rules to game the system for their own benefit, you know, that really fundamentally undermines the rule of law and our system of government.
Right. There are so many things going on right now. I don't think people are too concerned about there's that. And then the other Democratic hurdle, I guess you could call it, is packing the court, which means that they would want to add justices. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, tried to make it, I think it was 12 he was going to go up to. Why an even number, I'm not sure. But now, you know, we're talking about adding justices to the court. I would think that's just about as hard as statehood. Your thought on that one?
No, I think that's right. And again, I think it will require the elimination of the filibuster, you know, which would fundamentally change the Senate as a body. But I think what folks really need to be paying attention to as well is not just the, you know, there's been a lot of focus on the Supreme Court, but there's also a lot of talk about expanding the lower federal courts as well to allow judges to be packed into those. And so I think that's a less highlighted issue a lot of times, but one that could really have a very big impact since most cases, you know, don't make their way up to the Supreme Court and are instead decided in the, you know, the federal district courts or the federal circuit courts of appeal.
Yeah. Zach, I was just thinking, you're a busy guy, aren't you? I mean, I'm thinking about the job you have, legal and judicial. I mean, I can't remember a time where we haven't had more concern about the legal and judicial situation in this country. I mean it. I mean, with the Supreme Court additions and with what is going on with the impeachment and statehood and adding, I don't know. I just, you got a lot of work to do, my friend.
Absolutely. You know, if there's a silver lining to all the troubling things going on right now, it's it seems like it's full employment for me and my colleagues.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, you just keep up the good work there at the Great Heritage Foundation, Zach. Always a pleasure. I know we'll be talking again soon.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Zach. All right.
the busy Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation. Let us take our break, and when we come back, it's time for the Trump team to talk. Lawyers for the former president taking the stage today at the Capitol to argue why he should not be convicted of insurrection. We'll talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll about all of this, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. Hey, I was watching Ed, Tom Brady tossing the Super Bowl trophy from one boat to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more impressed with the guy that caught it than the toss myself.
Well,
I was a little worried that thing would fall into the bay.
Well, yeah, the guy in the NFL 20 years knows how to throw anything.
I know he does. But he almost, I saw him walking along after that. He looked a little bit, he looked a little bit tipsy.
Yeah, he might have had a little.
Yeah, I think for sure.
But you got to think of it, you know, Lord Stanley's Cup had a heck of a ride, you know, for their,
yeah,
you know, for their parties. And so now the Lombardi Trophy's gotten a tan too. So, you know.
Yeah. I like the idea of tossing it.
Did you have
maybe that'll become a precedent, and from now on, the quarterback of the winning team will end up tossing it to some of his fans in a parade.
Did you happen to watch the local TV coverage of it, or
some of it? Yes.
Well, right after the boat
parade,
they
had that huge flotilla.
Yeah, and then the players went to this area where they got to speak and everything. Well, they forgot to tell the news. They forgot to tell the players that the news media was there live coverage, and the F-bombs and everything was flowing for 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, probably at least 30 F-bombs and S-bombs before somebody pulled the plug.
Really?
At least 10 minutes. At least.
Well, you know what? These days, you've heard all these words on... You know, it used to be it would have been a shock, but let's be honest. Even the kids, they hear these words. You can't be as upset about it. You can't be as upset about it as usual. Hey, listen. Now we get to hear what Trump's lawyers are going to say. I bet they can't wait to bring up some of the hypocrisy with people like Nancy Pelosi and some of these Democrats and some of the things that they've said along the way about getting in the face of these people. Or, you know, it's patriotic in Madison, Wisconsin to break into the Madison, Wisconsin state capitol, break through the windows and the door. That's patriotic. She tweeted that, you know. Anyway, we have the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. And Andrew, are you going to watch any of the counter arguments by Trump's team today?
Well, Paul, I'll be honest with you. I think I only watched about 10 minutes of the managers. And it was a joke because it was just repeat,
right.
Edited video. You know, so I just say...
You know, it's
no
the
more,
old...
But, and you know, nothing's going to become of this thing.
No, it won't be. You're right. It's the old...
Okay, so we're just wasting time and money. But what did you think about Mr. Biden there wanting to close the borders of Florida? I'm quite sure you heard about that, didn't you?
I did not. Why? No, I didn't. Honestly, I haven't heard about that.
Tell me about it. Yeah, it came out yesterday. They were talking about the White House administration wanting to close the borders of the state of Florida because of the cases of that supposedly came from England that are a different breed or whatever. That's amazing.
I haven't heard a
they
word.
They want to close down the border of Florida, but they want to open the southern border and let in 25,000 people seeking asylum.
Well, if this is true, and I haven't
seen... Oh, it is true. Okay. There's no question about it.
Ed, did you hear
Ron
that?
Ron DeSantis already answered him
back. All right. I have not, I plead ignorance on that, but it's a stupid thing. Of course it is.
Oh, yeah. And,
ridiculous.
That's amazing. They're going to try it. What I want to know is, through all this, where's Wasserman, Schultz, and Ted Deutsch, whatever his name is, you know?
Yeah. No, this is, everything is so hypocritical going on right now. We were talking earlier about your former governor when you were in New York, Cuomo, and, you know, when is he going to bring back his Emmy, before he leaves or after he leaves? They're going to throw, do you think they're going to toss him out of Albany for... the cover-up of the numbers of people that actually died in nursing homes?
The people in New York are going to vote him in again.
I'm afraid
you're
right.
What are you talking
about? So he can get away with he is getting away with murder, because they were not even counting all these people that died under his watch.
Of course,
He can get away with it. Meanwhile, they're still trying to find something that Trump said where they can... impeach him, right? If it's not a phone, if it's not a phone call, it's a speech. I've never ever heard of people trying so hard.
You know, you even think that the only thing going on in this world is Trump, wouldn't you?
Exactly. In its own way, it's feeding Trump's ego. Not that he needs it, but he's the center of attention.
It's amazing. How many executive orders did Biden sign so far? 52?
About 7,000. He just keeps signing orders. I don't know.
I got a good one that he signed for the younger people out there.
Yeah.
He wants to impose a 45% capital gains tax on inheritance.
Yeah, I tell you what, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, come on. If you can come up with better ways to slow down the economy, Biden sure is trying to do it. With all the, you know, raise the minimum wage, especially on small businesses, where it's all they can do to keep their doors open right now because of the virus. He's going to raise the minimum wage. Yeah, that's going to help small businesses. Yeah, that's real bright. Add regulations to
China, the big corporations all behind them. Let's put the small people out of business, because that's what keeps America moving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the big corporations don't give two craps about their employees. The unions don't give two craps about their employees in this country, because look who they made them vote for, to put them out of work.
Yeah, the unions, well, and, you know, Trump had corralled a lot of the unions behind him, obviously, with the pipeline and West Virginia, the coal miners, and a lot of the blue collars.
Voter fraud. Just haven't got caught yet.
Yeah.
But the truth will come out.
Well, that'll be interesting. And more people are continuing to say that something went wrong, something doesn't make sense.
Well, a lot of the Biden people, Paul, according to what they're saying about Twitter, there's so many people on there having Biden remorse, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They said, listen, my pillow comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. What about this moron? You'll get 30-day guarantee with him to get rid of it, or what? Send him back.
By the way, speaking about him, did you hear him say that he thinks that we're going to be wearing these masks through this year and into next year as well? I can't. I don't know about that. I'm hoping.
Well,
he's got
Bucci put in double up. You know, instead of the mask, maybe he should put the pins over his face. That might really stop things.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
But it's ridiculous. You know, Paul, another executive order he signed about the men using the women's bathrooms and this and that. I
mean, right.
What kind of a man would sign a bill for a grown man to share a public restroom with a little girl?
I know.
And better yet, what kind of a man or woman would vote for that person?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Even women's sports teams now are coming out and saying, we can't do this. You know, the track teams and the basketball teams and some of the others.
because there's no you can't bring people that say, well, I'm a particular gender because this is the way I am, you know, and then have them come in running a track meet or lifting weights or playing tennis or whatever. It's not fair to obviously not fair biologically to women.
No, it's not fair, Paul. Everything that's going on isn't fair to any American. You know, they're so nervous about what's going on. They still have Washington barricaded. They're afraid, Paul, because they know they've done wrong, and the people aren't going to be happy here much longer. Again, like I said, I don't hear too many Democrats happy about what Joe Biden... Wait a second. I do have to tell you about one.
Okay, tell us.
I did have one come in the barber shop the other day.
Oh.
This guy drives me nuts.
Is he still alive?
He knows I can't stand him, but yet he keeps coming in.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
he likes
so
to
I hit him
taunt
up the
you.
Other day. I said, listen, what your buddy Joe's done for you so far that has made you happy, you know?
Yes.
You know what he told me?
What?
Well, he's getting me $1,400.
Oh.
I said, let me tell you something, you big dummy. I said, I've been working for, and I told him exactly like this.
I bet you
I
did.
I said, I've been working for at least 50 years where taxes have been taken out on me, and I could imagine I paid between $250,000 to $300,000 in taxes in those years. I said, and you know, what I've gotten back so far, if you think about it, I've got $300 from George Bush. You remember that one? George Bush gave us $300?
I'm trying to remember. Which one? George W. Bush?
Yeah. He gave us $300.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then I got another $1,200 here when Trump gave us some money, right, with his pandemic. Then we got another $600.
Yes. Well, I've got $1,200 total. I got two $600 checks, or am I all mixed up here? Originally, we got a $600 check the first time around, and we got a second one. Anyway, go ahead.
So I said that, I said, you know, out of 50 years, I said, out of $300,000 I paid, I got $2,200 back. This is not too bad about it.
No, you're right.
Says, and you think they're your friends, you big dummy.
I know.
Now back that one up. And he just looked at me, and he says, well, I can really use the money right now because, you know, I don't get that much for Social Security in my pension. You know what I told him?
What?
You should have made better choices in life.
You're right. Absolutely right for saying that. I mean, this is the thing. Individual responsibility. Does anybody ever remember that term, individual responsibility? All of a sudden, you aren't responsible at all. You don't save up, et cetera. And now you go cry to the government because you demand that you get more money from them? Well, where the hell is it coming from?
And you don't even have the money to give out.
And you don't have it to give out. We're about to hit $30 trillion in debt.
The Republicans are sitting there saying, hey, let's get this stimulus about $6 billion, and we give $2,000 apiece to every American. Well, where is the other $1.3 billion going?
Yeah.
Or trillion going? All these other countries, we got the money for it, Paul? No.
Of course we don't.
Okay, and people aren't going to put up with this much longer. I can't wait. I told them you better save that $1,400 because when the gas is $4 a gallon, you're going to need that to fill up the tank in your Toyota.
I'm still waiting. The stock market is actually, I haven't seen it today, but the stock market is staying pretty good despite Biden and despite the impeachment trials.
A few of my customers that are financial analysts are telling me, take your money out of the stock market.
Yeah,
because
I'm a little worried.
I'm
a little. So, in 2 years, we vote again. I'm thinking the way Biden is handling things, that Republicans have a real good shot at recapturing both the Senate and the House. What do you think? Or do you care?
Well, Paul, again, like I told you, the Republican Party is in turmoil. I could see the House and the Senate being taken over by another party.
And you think in 2 years that's a possibility?
Paul, look it. They got their vaccine out in how long that it couldn't be done for 4 or 5 years,
yeah.
They said, right?
Yeah.
Anything can happen, Paul, especially right now. Nothing in this country is predictable.
True.
Except we're going down right now. That's the only thing that's predictable. Everybody should have their flag and their pole hung upside down.
Yeah. Well, as always, and I'm glad you're out there on the fight, by the way. And by the way, so Ron DeSantis and this story about the borders. in Florida.
Yes. You need to research that.
I gotta find
buddy.
That one. I didn't hear anything about it.
Was
that this morning or yesterday?
No, yesterday. It just came out yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all over. It's all over the news.
You mean if they could have their way?
Ron DeSantis had countered. He said, "I'm ready for a fight."
Yeah.
This is nothing but political, and Read up on it. You'll be very interested.
I shall do that, my friend, and it is always a pleasure. Hey, I may come by for a haircut today. Do you have an opening?
Well, I'm not there today. Well, I have to deal with Christine or Candy.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm getting ready to cut my grass now.
Oh, you know, if you can cut grass as well as you can cut hair, you probably have a beautifully manicured lawn.
You know, Paul, people think I'm crazy, but I love driving my tractor.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun.
I love driving. I could drive it all day.
Is that right? Do you do your neighbors as well? I bet you do.
Paul, I cut 6 of my neighbors' lawns.
You do really?
I cut an acre and a half of grass.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
You are a real good Samaritan. The more I hear about you, the more I know you are. That's really nice of you.
I appreciate that, Paul.
I mean it. You really are. Well, my pleasure, my friend. I will, of course, look forward to talking with you on Monday. And maybe by then, this whole stupid impeachment effort will be over.
Well, they say by Saturday they expect it to be over.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be really good.
Oh, that'll be great. And then they walk away with their tails between their legs again, right?
Yes, indeed they will. That's for sure. Thank you, my friend.
Paul, you have a good weekend, buddy.
All right,
thanks. Take care.
All right, there he goes, Andrew the Master Barber. He mows lawn as good as he mows hair. And that's the truth. All right, we're going to take our final break. Among other things, when we come back, who are the 10 current longest ruling leaders? Wow.
Each time we have a quarrel.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you can't listen live, you can listen to us anytime you want because Big Ed sets all of our shows on podcast, all of them, and most recent ones first. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com, and go to the top, click on the podcast button. There you go. All right. So with the impeachment trial now turning to the defense, what's going to happen? Here is John Turley, who is a legal scholar. He teaches constitutional law. He's a Democrat, but he feels this whole Trump impeachment thing is basically a fiasco. I wanted to read to you some of the things that he says about the glaring hole in the entire case against Donald Trump. He says, at the end of its first day of argument, the Senate impeachment trial was thrown into chaos when a, quote, juror, that means one of the senators, stood up, like a scene out of Perry Mason, to contest the veracity of the statements being made by the prosecuting attorney. The moment came as the Senate was getting ready to end. So Mike Lee, he's a Republican from Utah, jumped to his feet to object that a quote by House manager, Congressman David Cicilline, a Democrat, of course, that quote was false. And he should know because it was being attributed to him. To him. So after a little bit of a frenzy on the floor, they delayed the proceedings. They stopped everything. Jamie Raskin, he's the attorney that's been speaking, and rather eloquently at times, for the prosecution. Raskin announced that they would withdraw the statements that were assigned to Mike Lee because he never apparently said them. Well, that's good. It had to do with Trump and what he said on a phone call. Trump was trying to reach Tommy Tuberville. He's now senator from Alabama. You know, he used to be a coach in Auburn. In fact, when I was living in Auburn, he was there. Everybody loved him at the time. That's why he became a senator, because he could get the votes. But Trump was making a phone call, apparently, and he wanted to speak to Tuberville. But somehow he ended up talking with Mike Lee, a colleague, a Republican colleague of Tuberville's. And the Democrats brought up the fact that when Trump was on the phone call with Lee, that apparently he was telling Lee that he wanted to make additional objections to the certification process and he wanted to push it on Tuberville. Well, apparently that never occurred. And Lee said that those things that you have attributed to me saying about the call are not true. And so finally, after all of this, they finally, I guess it's too late because the cat's out of the bag, but they censor it out, or they cut it out of the proceedings. You know how that is. If you ever watch on TV the jury trial, I object. Okay, objection sustained. Strike it. Right? But it's already been out. Anyway, this is what is going on with the entire trial. All kinds of things that are being said that nobody can really back up, you know? And I don't know. Hopefully this thing will indeed be over before Monday. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I got to ask you a question. Now that we're through with football, we have the, you know, we really do. We go from one championship team to another. We got the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm. They got whacked pretty good, though. They went down to play the Florida Panthers, and they are good this year.
Yeah, they're 7-1, I think.
They are good. I was watching the game, and I must tell you, they outplayed the Lightning last night.
Of course, we didn't have Stamkos last night either.
They did not. Mm. And I was thinking about that, but you know what? I don't think it would have made any difference. Mm. I think the Panthers are good. You got to watch them, don't you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think, isn't that interesting? We would have the two best possibly hockey teams in Florida.
Florida.
Florida!
Yeah. All right.
We don't have much ice.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
And we won't get to play any Canadian teams.
That's true.
This year.
Hey, by the way, when was the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup?
I don't know.
It's been a long time.
I don't know.
Much to their embarrassment. Much to their embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's their sport.
It is.
Yeah. It hurts even more when Florida's winning.
It's got to. Isn't that funny? Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, it is time, I think, for our top 10. Ed, I think we got a good one. When we do it, I'll also tell you a lot of these people are kind of, you've never heard of them, but they've been in power for a long time. They're currently in power. Mm. And this comes from the Business Insider that got this together for us. These are the top 10 longest current rulers. Here we go. Number 10. Out of Belarus. Belarus used to be a part of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Mm. And it's your good friend Alexander Lukashenko. Remember him?
Sure, Lukashenko.
You know, he's been in power and the president there since 1994.
Mm.
Wow, pretty good. All right, number 9. Number nine is another one of your buddies, Emomali Rahmon in Tajikistan. That's another part of the Union of Soviet Socialist
Republics. Yeah, one of those stand places over there.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly right. He's also been, although a little bit longer, a few months longer, he's been in power since 1994. All right, number eight. And now we go to the great country of Eritrea. I don't even know where it is, so I'll tell you the truth. Isaias Afwerki, sounds like it might be African area. He's been in power since 1993. All right, number seven, Chad. Mm-hmm. Well, we know that's in Africa.
Yeah.
Okay. Idris Deby has been president of Chad since 1990, when he grabbed power, by the way, just seized it. So that's how many years? That's 31 years this year. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. Number six. Oh, yeah, our buddy, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who, you remember there was the Ayatollah.
Yep.
He spelled it a little different, but anyway. This one became Iran's second supreme leader in 1989, so he's ruled for 31 years. Man, you know, usually these clerics, something happens to them. I don't know how he stays in power that long.
Yeah.
Okay, number five. Uganda, Yoweri Museveni has been the president since 1986. So that's 35 years, if my math is right. And he is expected to enter his sixth term this year, a little later. Number four. We go to Cambodia. Hun Sen, prime minister since 1985. Wow. That's a long time. Number three. Okay, this is the Republic of Congo. I guess a lot of these people in Africa do survive for a long time. They just, of course, they just seize power. Nobody votes.
Right.
Denis Sassou Nguesso, president of the Republic of Congo since 1997. But he had previously served from 1979 to 1992. Hey, guys, this is the rebound.
Wow.
The bad penny. Okay, number two. Now, this guy is in Cameroon. His name is Paul Biya, B-I-Y-A. He's been the president since 1982. Previously, he served as the prime minister for 7 years. That is a very, very long time. That's 18 years as president. No, what am I saying? 18. 39 years as president, and then 7 years as prime minister. 46 years. All right, here we go at number one. Do you have any idea what part of the world this guy is in? Do you want to take a guess? I know you wouldn't know who he was. Okay, that's all right. How about Equatorial Guinea?
If you say so.
It is. Guy's name is Teodoro Obiang Nguema Basago. He's been the leader of Equatorial Guinea for 40 years, 40 straight years, after taking power in a 1979 coup. I would take power in a 1957 Chevy. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. Have a very safe weekend. We'll be back on Monday. And do remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.